All right, well, we had some really good letters tonight about mission work and talked a bit about Noah's mission work. I want to challenge you tonight to think outside the box in relationship to being involved in missions. And we're going to talk about a couple in the Bible named Aquila and Priscilla. They weren't ordained ministers. Aquila wasn't an ordained preacher. But he very much was involved in church planting. And some things wouldn't even have been accomplished, I think, without the labor of Aquila and Priscilla. Paul comes into contact with him in chapter 18 of Acts. And it says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy. And so he was living over there in Italy, in Rome possibly, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And so somehow he comes in contact with Priscilla and Aquila, or Aquila and Priscilla, and either they were saved or maybe more likely were saved underneath Paul's ministry. If you go to 18 of chapter 18, it kind of picks up their name again. It says Paul in Acts 18:18, and Paul, after he tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And so when he leaves there and heads on toward Syria, these tent makers go with him. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And when they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep the feast that cometh to Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And we landed at Cenchrea, and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. And so he's left Priscilla and Aquila there at Ephesus. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and expounded him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was supposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. And he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. It had been very easy for them to just draw Apollos aside and say, hey, you big jerk, you don't even know what you're talking about. You just need to keep your mouth shut. But they didn't say that. They said, hey, why don't you come over and eat tonight? And when they came over to eat, then they said, hey, you know, you said this, but what do you think about this? And they began to talk to him. And it seems obviously also that his wife was involved. And they were just visiting. I mean, a woman should never take a teaching position in the church, but it doesn't mean that she can't talk to a man on the street or in her home. But both of them began to sit down and reason with this man. And Apollos is going to be used of the Lord. When we get to 1 Corinthians, we know that he's involved in the work there. And so they're involved in discipling of men. They're involved in the labor of working with Paul. And I want to just to show you some attributes about this couple that we all should have, but I also want you to think about in the area of planting churches. A lot of you live in different areas. Some of you live in, Mike lives over in a condominium where there's lots of people there. I wonder if a Bible study could be started in Mike's home. Nate lives over on the other side of Esther. I don't know if a good church, a Baptist church over that way. I wonder if a Bible study could be started in his home. Julius is not a member, but he's got contact with many people on the base. I wonder if somehow we could go in with Julius into the barracks. I don't know if they call them barracks in the Air Force, but what do they call them? Dorms. It's more like college. That's the difference between Air Force and Army, I guess. Well, I wonder if a Bible study could be started there. I know there's a bunch, when you get into the barracks, there's a bunch of rowdiness goes on. But I wonder if a Bible study could be started. I wonder if somehow we could open up our homes. I wonder if we might not be surprised if we would just invite someone to supper and the doors that might be opened. Well, one of the first things that we see about this couple is that they were very industrious. They were a team that worked together, and they made tents. You see that in verse 2 and 3 of Acts chapter 18. They worked hard at their trade. They seemed to travel around from here at Corinth, going to go to Ephesus. Another thing you see about this couple, not only were they industrious, and I think that, you know, if you've ever imagined or thought that the work of the Lord is something to take up because you want to be able to be your own boss and have your free time and be able to go fishing when you want to and sit down and watch television when you want to, then you've got a misconception about the ministry. And these were active people, very much involved. And they lived busy lives. And I think sometimes, you know, if we think about, you want me to have a open up my home and have a Bible study in my home? And don't you know that I work 8 hours a day and it's hard work? Well, these guys work too. And it wasn't back in the day when they just worked 8 hour days. I think that's pretty much a phenomenon in the last couple of centuries, if even that. But they were very hospitable. You see there in verse 3 that, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And so Aquila comes home and he says, "Hey Priscilla, guess what? I met this guy down in the Apiforum or down in the Forum. I met this guy down in the marketplace. And he's a little Jew, and he's a Christian, and he makes tents. And I wonder if we could bring him home and let him stay with us." "Well, how long?" "Well, for as long as it needs to be." And she could have said, "What are you talking about, man? I'm helping you sew tents. My fingers are nubbins because of poking that needle through all those hides. I'm so intense, and you want me to take in a boarder for nothing?" She didn't say that. They took him in, and they housed him, and they took care of him. And we're going to find out later, not only that, but Aquila's going to approach her and say, "Hey, sweetie, what do you think about holding services in our home?" "What? I got to clean the house every Saturday night because we're going to have visitors on Sunday." I'm just saying that they were open. They wanted to be used. And here they're going to ask Paul to come in. And he abode with them. And they worked together. And they freed up Paul that he could reason in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And so they were industrious, they were hospitable. And it seemed to be that they're very teachable because they have Paul, and it seems as though, you know, they grasp the Word of God. And as you see there in chapter 18 and verse 24, that they were able to reason with this man who was a great speaker. This man Apollos, it tells us there in verse 24 of chapter 18 that he was an eloquent man. He was already mighty in the Scriptures. And when he preached what he preached, he was mighty in each preaching. And here's a guy that's very dynamic and very much into the Scriptures. And they pull him aside, and they instructed in the way of the Lord. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in his spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded to him the way of God more perfectly. They weren't afraid to confront. And God was in it. You know, sometimes you may meet some people and they seem to be very, very, you know, sure about what they believe and very dogmatic and very vocal. And we say, ain't going to mess with those guys. Only thing that's going to happen if I try to straighten those guys out is I'm going to get somebody mad. But no, they knew that the truth mattered. And so they approached this man, and if he's going to be teachable, he's going to be teachable. And so let me just say to you that mission work or even discipling people or having a Bible study in your home, there's going to be some confrontation. This world and the teaching of this world, the teaching of religion that's not based upon the Bible, is going to be confrontational. And you're going to determine really quick whether you can work with these people. But sometimes, you know, I mean, Paul kicked and kicked and kicked and kicked and kicked, and it was very confrontational. And Paul got upset about it to the point that he was getting permission to kill Christians. And you never know, after you've confronted someone, and he went home and wrestled with that and wrestled with that and wrestled with that, what God can do in that. But they were very much oriented towards the Bible. And they helped this young man. Listen, there could be guys out there, young men out there, and young ladies that have been taught wrong. They're searching. They're questioning. And you have to understand that when Paul met up, whether it was Aquila and Priscilla together, whenever this original meeting came about, it was a divine appointment from God. And we must understand that even in our lives, in the day in which we live, that God brings people into our lives which are divine appointments. I don't know exactly why I worked at Home Depot. I didn't really like any of it. But I do know, beyond a shadow of doubt, one of the reasons was to meet a young man named Vlad who was from Bulgaria. And it seemed like after I witnessed to him, the Lord just said, okay, it's time to move on. And now of all things, I got a guy riding in my truck. You know when you go over the overpass on the Mitchell Expressway and right before you get to Mike and Cassandra's, there's kind of a, you know, some little timber in there and you see tents in there? This is where this guy's sleeping that's riding in my truck. Well, he won't jump out going 40 miles an hour, so maybe I can witness to him. But I'm just saying that what I'm saying is this, is that they were focused on people and some divine appointments. And Paul came into their life, and God's going to use Priscilla and Aquila to be a blessing to Paul, but also to be a very key ingredient to establishing churches. And so they were industrious, they're hospitable, they're teachable, they're oriented in the Bible. But they also were very much local church oriented. Look over in 1 Corinthians, well, let's look first in Romans 16. Romans 16. And verse 5. Romans 3. Okay. Greet Priscilla. It says, I commend you to Phoebe, our sister, verse 1, which is servant of the Church of Christ in Caesarea, that you receive her in the Lord as become saints, that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succor of many, and myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Jesus Christ, whom have for my life laid down their own necks, and to whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. They believed in the local church. They had a church that was right there in their own house, assembly, open up their house to that. Now let's go over to 1 Corinthians 16, and you'll see again that their home is opened up for the assembly to meet there. They didn't just, worship here and there, but they believed in a church, an assembly. In verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 16, the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. That the church of God is the house of God. That they were willing not only to open up their home to have the services held there and the assembly to meet there, but I think they understood that, as it says in Ephesians, unto him be glory in the church and the importance of the New Testament church. I think also you see here that they were a great team, a husband and wife team. There's so much today that pulls us apart as husbands and wives. And I've already mentioned it, but listen, to take, here's the deal. Sometimes things happen in your home where there's some sparks flying and some words being said. And sometimes you just want your space to air out. And company and dirty socks start stinking after 3 days. If they had this guy in their home all the time, and they had services in their home, and they were a team, they worked together. They, for the cause of the Lord, they put up with some stuff. It's not easy having somebody live with you that's not your relative. It's not easy having your relatives live with you. You're ready to get out, Jock. But I'm simply saying that they were a godly couple. There's something really special about a godly couple on the same page. And let me also say to you that sometimes that's a very rare thing when it shouldn't be. But it's a tremendous blessing when it is. And then you see something else here. When you go to chapter 16 again of Romans, in Romans 16 and verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, fellow workers, a helper. When Paul wrote about this couple, as a missionary, and as playing a pastoral role as a church starter, he didn't say, this family was a pain in the rear. He didn't say that this family, when they came to the mission work, brought a lot of baggage with them. All of us have baggage. But what he said was, as I think of back on this couple, I can say to you that they helped me. They were my helpers. They didn't discourage me. One of the greatest discouragements for a preacher is for some faithful member that he thought was their helper to be a turncoat or go to the world. When Paul said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, you got to understand he said that with heartache. But this couple was a helper. They helped. Whatever Paul needed, even to the point of living with them, they helped. And because they were able to, Paul is a single man. He didn't have to go and make tents. You know, he was what they call a tent maker today, a tent maker ministry, and that he had to work to be a missionary. And we know that sometimes he got support from Philippi and different places, and that helped him to even do greater work. But Paul didn't have to make tents all day, go home to his apartment, cook his supper, wash his clothes, and then try to do the work. Priscilla helped him. He ate with them. He lived with them. So, again, let me say to you that we're not just talking about Priscilla and Aquila here, but we're trying to bring this down to the day in which we live in 2013. How can where I live in my community, where I live around these people, Michelle is here, she's from Mexico. Brother Demo is working with her and Morgan about joining our church. How many Hispanic people that speak, you know, Spanish in Fairbanks are there? Maybe there's an opportunity. I'm just saying to you that let's open our minds and our hearts and let's look at what the possibilities might be. Let's rattle the door and see if maybe it comes open. Let's be available. I guess the greatest thing about being used of the Lord is not a matter of your intelligence and not even a matter of how much Bible knowledge you have, but it's a matter of being faithful and available. If you're not, you can quote all the book of Romans, but if you're not faithful, you can't be used. And so this was a couple that was faithful. And they were very courageous. Again, in chapter 16 and verse 3 of Romans, greet Priscilla and Aquila by my helpers in Christ Jesus who have for my life laid down their own necks. Now we don't know what happened. But it seems as though they stood in the gap to help Paul and protect Paul. It seems as though when it says laid down their own necks, that their life was in jeopardy for Paul, who've laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. And so they stood in the gap. They did something that seems to be protecting this missionary, Paul. And then look over in 2 Timothy 4 and 19. Here in 2 Timothy, where are we at in Paul's life? Huh? At the end. I mean, 2 Timothy, Paul says, my departure is at hand. I've kept the faith. Paul knew that he was going to be executed. And here he'd met these people way over there in the ministry at Corinth, in the ministry at Ephesus. And here at the end of his life, he says in verse 19, salute Priscilla, and Aquila in the household of Onesiphorus. What we see here, this is written about 14 years after Paul had first met him. And what's the testimony? They're keeping on, keeping on. They're being faithful. the being used of the Lord. A couple mentioned in the Bible, not called to preach, not ordained by any church, not sent forth to do mission work, but an absolutely vital part of establishing churches. Opening up their homes, helping the missionary, taking a young man that was had great potential and say, hey, listen, you don't have this just right. You know, let me show you something. And instructing him. And Apollos being used of the Lord and having greater understanding of the Bible. Let's look around. Let's think outside the box. Let's look for opportunities. Let's be willing to be moved out of our comfort zone. We don't really like that, do we? We all have our comfort zone. Let me tell you, when I go to prison with Brother Girth, and you walk through and they hit that button and the bars come open and you hit that button and it goes, bang! It's not the comfort zone for me. Brother Girth's used to it. I'm starting to get used to it. It's not a comfort zone for me to go to work at Home Depot. But I'm glad I got to witness. And I'm right where I need to be. And so, you know, think about your neighbors. You may not be able to have a Bible study and teach a Bible study, but you could say, hey, come over and let's have something to eat. Come over and let's have a cup of coffee. And talk to them about what the Lord has done. Talk to them like these two young black people. And if they're interested, you say, hey, there's somebody in my church that would be willing to come in and have some personal Bible studies and answer your questions if you'd be willing to do that. And they say, and you know what happened? They say, no, I don't want it. No, don't give me all that religious junk. Or they might say, you know what? A long time I've been thinking about these things. Let's do it. And you can fall out of your chair and then pick yourself up, and then we'll have the Bible study. Okay? All these things can be led of the Lord. I'm not talking, you know, I'm not shaming you tonight. I'm not trying to push you, not trying to say you're not doing your job. But I am saying that God has put us in certain places, and you may be surprised how he opens the doors. But what we need to do, we need to keep pushing on the door. We need to keep rattling the doorknob and seeing if this door is unlocked and be available to be used of the Lord like Priscilla and Aquila. Okay? All right. There needs to be a little bit of janitorial work, some vacuuming. I think there's still garbage over from our mill at the other church. If some of you guys can take all those flower pots over here and stick them under the porch and clean that up and just do what you can. Okay? You're dismissed. Take a look at the fuel tank out there. It looks pretty bulletproof. I'm telling Nate I want him to put a patent on that. We might be start